In this session, we will look at the taxation of foreign income. The taxation of overseas income is entirely dependent on the residence and domicile status of the recipient. We shall take a detailed look at the taxation of overseas employment income in the next chapter. But in this chapter, we will concentrate on overseas investment and property income. Before we start, we need to define a few terms. A rising basis means that income is taxed in the year in which it arises or is received. It makes no difference whether such income is brought back to the UK or kept offshore. Remittance basis means that foreign income is only taxed in the UK if it is brought back to the UK or enjoyed in the UK. UK income means income deriving from a source in the UK, e.g. interest on a UK bank account, dividends on shares in UK companies, rents from UK properties, etc. Foreign investment and foreign property income generally means interest on foreign stock, foreign debentures and foreign bank accounts, and dividends from non-UK companies. Foreign property income includes rents from foreign properties. Before we look specifically at foreign income, we will first look at the taxation of UK income. The way in which income is taxed largely depends on where it arises. UK income, i.e. income arising from a source which is situated in the UK, is taxed on everybody, regardless of their residence status. This means that if an individual is resident and domiciled outside the UK, but they have a UK property which is let out and produces rental income, that rental income will be charged to UK income tax as UK property income. The non-resident individual, therefore, will have a responsibility to file a self-assessment return and pay UK income tax. There is an exception in respect of FOTRA securities. There is no tax on UK FOTRA securities which are held by individuals who are not ordinarily resident in the UK. FOTRA stands for Free of Tax to Residents Abroad. An example of a FOTRA security is UK government treasury stock. As the interest on this stock is UK source income, it should normally be taxed on all individuals, including non-residents. However, by exception, because the stock has FOTRA status, if the interest is received by an individual who is not ordinarily resident in the UK, the interest will escape UK tax. HMRC has published a list of FOTRA securities. The maximum tax payable by a non-UK resident is the tax deducted from interest, dividends, notional tax credits being treated as tax deducted, and social security benefits, plus the tax in respect of other income calculated on the basis that personal allowances are not available. Individuals who are not ordinarily resident in the UK, who provide their bank or building society with a declaration to that effect, can have their interest paid gross, rather than under deduction of tax at source. Therefore, if the only source of UK income is interest, which is paid gross, the individual will not have a UK tax liability. However, if a claim for personal allowances is made, the tax liability is calculated as normal. Let us illustrate this by looking at Jacob, who is resident in Germany. Jacob receives UK rental income after expenses of £6,000 a year. He also has a UK bank account on which the amount of interest, usually paid net, is £8,000 per annum. Jacob has elected to have his UK bank interest paid gross. He will therefore receive gross interest of £10,000 per annum. Jacob's UK tax liability will be limited to the tax due on the rental income, ignoring personal allowances. This will be £6,000 at 20%, giving £1,200. HMRC will not seek the 20% tax on the gross UK bank interest. Alternatively, Jacob's tax liability could be calculated under normal rules. So here, we would tax both the rental income and the UK bank interest, and Jacob would be given a personal allowance. This would result in a liability of £1,905. Section 811 therefore limits Jacob's tax liability to £1,200. Next, we consider foreign income. We will start by looking at an individual who is resident, ordinarily resident, and domiciled in the UK. Foreign investment and property income arising to individuals who are resident and domiciled in the UK is taxable on an arising basis. UK resident individuals who are domiciled in the UK are therefore taxable on their worldwide income. Now consider individuals who are resident in the UK but are not ordinarily resident. This will apply to short-term visitors to the UK who have not yet acquired ordinary resident status. If an individual is resident but not ordinarily resident in the UK, foreign income is taxed on an arising basis. However, the individual can make a claim for the remittance basis to apply. We will look at the remittance basis in more detail later. Next, we consider foreign income received by an individual who is resident and ordinarily resident but not domiciled in the UK. This will apply in the case of a foreign national who is living in the UK but will return to his homeland at some point in the future. For people who are resident in the UK but domiciled abroad, their foreign income is taxed on an arising basis. However, the individual can make a claim for the remittance basis to apply. This means that the individual will only pay tax on his foreign income if he brings it into the UK. This is a very important rule and will be discussed in more detail later on. Finally, we look at foreign income received by an individual who is not resident and not ordinarily resident in the UK. Foreign income arising to non-resident individuals is not taxable in the UK. For example, the UK government have no authority to tell a Spanish citizen that he or she should pay UK income tax on his or her Spanish income. This means that in the case of a non-resident individual, as long as the income arises outside the UK, it cannot be taxed in the UK in any circumstances. On the screen, you will see a summary of what we have covered so far. In the UK income column, you will see that all income is taxable as it arises. There are a couple of exceptions to this rule, but generally, if income arises in the UK, it is taxable in the UK, regardless of the residence and domicile status of the recipient. The rules are more complex for foreign income. Foreign income arising to an individual who is UK resident and domiciled is taxed as it arises. Foreign income arising to an individual who is UK resident but not ordinarily resident is also taxed on an arising basis, but a claim can be made for the remittance basis to apply. The remittance basis can also be claimed by taxpayers who are UK resident but are non-UK domiciled. We will look in more detail at non-domiciled taxpayers later. Finally, foreign income arising to non-resident individuals is not taxable in the UK. Moving on now to the availability of personal allowances. Personal allowances, including age allowances and married couples relief, are available to all individuals who are resident in the UK. Certain non-resident individuals may also claim UK personal allowances. These include citizens of the European Economic Area, EEA. The EEA essentially comprises the European Union plus a few additional nations, such as Norway, Iceland and Liechtenstein, and residents of the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man. Employees, past and present, of the British Crown, including widowers and widowers of Crown servants. There will therefore be some non-resident taxpayers who pay UK income tax on UK source income who will not receive a personal allowance. Also remember that personal allowances for all taxpayers, whether resident or not, will be tapered away when net income exceeds £100,000. An individual may receive income from a foreign pension. Foreign pension income is either taxed on an arising basis if the recipient is UK resident and UK domiciled, or on a remittance basis if the recipient is either UK resident but not UK domiciled, or is UK resident and not ordinarily resident, and has made a claim for the remittance basis. Where foreign pensions are taxed on an arising basis, a 10% deduction is available. The 10% deduction simply means that only 90% of the pension is taxable in the UK. For example, if an individual is resident and domiciled in the UK and receives a pension from abroad of £10,000, only 90% of it, i.e. £9,000, will be taxable in the UK. The 10% deduction is not available if the foreign pension is taxed on a remittance basis. For the rest of this session, we will concentrate on individuals who are not domiciled or not ordinarily resident in the UK. First, let's remind ourselves of some general principles. Where an individual is resident in the UK but is not UK domiciled or ordinarily resident, as a general rule, both UK source and foreign income is taxed on an arising basis. However, a claim can be made for foreign income to be taxed on the remittance basis. In this case, the foreign income of such taxpayers is usually only taxed in the UK if it is brought in, used, or enjoyed in the UK. If it is kept offshore, it is free of UK income tax. If an individual wishes to use the remittance basis, he must generally make a claim every year under Section 809B of the Income Tax Act 2007. The claim will usually be made via the self-assessment return. Otherwise, if no claim is made, the foreign income for the tax year should be fully reported and will be taxed as it arises, as for UK domiciled and ordinarily resident taxpayers. Non-domiciled individuals can opt in and out of the remittance basis year by year if they so choose. As we have just mentioned, if a non-domiciled individual wishes to be taxed on amounts remitted to the UK, he or she must make a claim under Section 809B. However, where an individual's unremitted foreign income and gains is less than £2,000, the remittance basis applies automatically. In this case, there is no need to make a claim under Section 809B. Unremitted foreign income and gains means total foreign income and gains for the tax year, less amounts actually remitted to the UK in the year. For example, if a non-UK domiciliary has foreign income of £4,000 with no foreign gains, and in that year he remits £2,500 to the UK, the unremitted foreign income is £1,500. This is less than £2,000, so the remittance basis will automatically apply, so no formal claim needs to be made. In this case, the taxable foreign income will be the amount remitted, i.e. £2,500. However, if a non-UK domiciliary has foreign income of £4,000 and he remits £1,000 to the UK, the unremitted foreign income is £3,000. Here, the remittance basis will not apply unless a claim is made under Section 809B. The taxable foreign income will be the total amount arising of £4,000, unless a claim is made under Section 809B, in which case the taxable foreign income will be the amount remitted, i.e. £1,000. Where income is taxed on a remittance basis, it is always taxed as non-savings income. This will be the case even if the non-domiciliary remits foreign dividends. The effect of this is that any foreign dividends remitted to the UK will therefore be taxed at 20%, 40% and 50%. As opposed to 10%, 32.5% and 42.5% for dividends taxed on an arising basis. The mixed fund rules can be avoided by the taxpayer maintaining multiple bank accounts, each containing different sources, such that none of the bank accounts is a mixed fund. For example, returning to the non-domiciled taxpayer in the previous illustration who sold a foreign asset. This time, the proceeds are paid into a new, non-interest-bearing foreign bank account. Any remittances from this account can only be a remittance of the capital gain, as there is nothing else in the account. The remittance would then be taxed at the CGT rates of 18 or 28%, not at the higher income tax rates. Keeping multiple bank accounts can, however, be expensive, time-consuming, and difficult to administer, although this sort of planning is worthwhile for the very wealthy. As discussed above, personal allowances are given to all UK residents and to certain non-residents, e.g. EEA citizens and residents of the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man. However, from 2008-09, where the remittance basis is claimed under Section 809B, no personal allowances, age allowances, or blind person's allowances will be available for that tax year, and no CGT annual exemption is available for that tax year. Where the remittance basis applies automatically, without a Section 809B claim, full personal allowances and CGT exemptions will be given. This will be the case for non-domiciliaries with unremitted foreign income of less than £2,000. This loss of personal allowances will be a particular issue for overseas employees seconded to the UK who are tax equalised, i.e. they have a guarantee from their employer that their net take-home pay will remain the same, regardless of any changes in the UK tax legislation. If these employees lose their personal allowances, their employer must then increase their salary to leave them with the same net pay. From 2008-09, some non-domiciled individuals will be put in a position where they will have to choose between the remittance basis and their personal allowances. In simple terms, non-domiciled taxpayers with foreign income in excess of the personal allowance will be better off claiming to use the remittance basis and thereby losing the personal allowance. Do note that taxpayers with capital gains will also need to consider the loss of their annual CGT exemption when making this choice. Also remember that individuals with net income in excess of £100,000 will see their personal allowances tapered away by £1 for every £2 of income above £100,000. Therefore, once a taxpayer has taxable income of £112,950, no personal allowances will be available, irrespective of whether a Section 809B claim is made or not. By way of illustration, Boris is Ukrainian. He comes to work in London on a 4 to 5 year secondment from Kiev. He is resident, ordinarily resident, and non-UK domiciled. His total income for 2010-11 is as per your screen. He has a UK salary and some UK bank interest. He rents out his house in Kiev and has some interest on a Ukrainian bank account. He has sufficient UK salary, so he does not remit any foreign income to the UK. We will calculate Boris's taxable income for 2010-11. First, we will assume that Boris claims under Section 809B to use the remittance basis. He will not be able to use the remittance basis without a claim, as his unremitted foreign income exceeds £2,000. As he claims to use the remittance basis, Boris will be taxed on foreign income remitted to the UK. His taxable income in the UK will be as follows. We tax his UK salary of £40,000 and his UK bank interest, which we gross up to £1,000. We do not tax any foreign income, as Boris is non-domiciled and claims to only pay tax on income remitted to the UK. No foreign income has been remitted, so none is taxable. He will not receive a personal allowance, as he is claiming to use the remittance basis. Boris's taxable income is therefore £41,000. Now let's assume that Boris does not wish to use the remittance basis, and so does not, therefore, make a claim under Section 809B. He will now be taxed on all of his worldwide income, whether remitted to the UK or not. His taxable income in the UK will now be as follows. Again, we tax his UK salary and his UK bank interest. However, as he has not claimed to use the remittance basis, all of his foreign income is taxable as it arises. We therefore now tax his rental income of £8,000 from his house in Kiev and the interest of £4,000 on his Ukrainian bank account. The net income is £53,000. As Boris has not claimed the remittance basis, we can deduct a personal allowance. This gives him taxable income of £46,525. If we look at the two results, we see that Boris should therefore claim the remittance basis in 2010-11, even if this means he will lose his personal allowance.